What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers into the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness and gusty winds. Gusty winds at times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front. Cold blood. With tornado watches issued shortly before noon Sunday for the areas including the western region of my mental health. And the northern portion of my ability to deal rationally with my disconcerting, precarious emotional situation. Cold out there. Colder than a ticket taker's smile at the Ivor Theater on Saturday night. Flash flood watches cover the southern portion of my disposition. Yeah. There was no severe weather well into the afternoon, except for kind of a lone gust of wind in the bedroom.
And, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. It is the 13th day, ladies and gentlemen. Friday the 13th. Oh, la, la. Friday the 13th. Yeah, if I was a kind of guy that believed in nonsense like that, I would be I'd be a little nervous. But well, maybe that explains all the stuff that's been happening lately. Well, today actually, my website has been attacked, and all of my stuff is being slowed down. If you want to file from my website, you're going to have to press on your right click button and download it to your disk, download it to your hard drive, and then open it as a file. You can't play it on an MP3. It won't work. And if you're interested in finding out what else is going on here, they're actually doing all kinds of stuff to Eric and I, mostly me. They're actually outside of my home in the middle of the night, and if you knew where I lived, you would know how bizarre that really is. That's going to make it, that'll be different coming up soon here because, see, you can't travel around where I live at night without sticking out. Why? Because everybody where I live goes to bed, comes home at 7 o'clock. All the stores are closed by 7. All the restaurants are closed, all the grocery stores, all the gas stations, all everything is closed and every community everywhere around me. And if you're here up walking around or running around at night, you are seen or heard, and everyone has dogs. And so there's no slinking in and slithering out and all that stuff. You are going to make an impact. And so each and every time these people have arrived, one time they were going through my barrels and stuff, and they were found out about. But they've been, the local authorities have been made aware of it because my neighbor down over here, I have a couple of neighbors, saw people around here. She called, and I got involved in it. And well, these are the things that go on, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they're doing this to me because I'm getting traction on the truth. And my truth is simple. Look who the people are behind these amorphous terms, globalist, Illuminati, whatever else. The aluminum Nazis is what I called them last night, or you know, the New World Order. Look at the names. Look at the people, and then follow back these people's activities to where they lead. And where it leads is a simple place. It's there. All the leadership is held in Zionist hands, all of it. Media, banking, all of our biggest lobbying groups. 9/11 leads back to them. Zim moving, dancing Israelis. Financing for the purchase of those buildings from the Port Authority by Zionist interests, including Silverstein, and many others. The orchestration of the war in the Pentagon by Douglas Feith. The controlling of the White House by Pearl and Wolfowitz, Libby, and many, many others. And then you go over to the people who wrote all these policies, William Kristol and others like him. And then you take a look at who controls the drug industry and some of these other companies that are benefiting. Take a look who's benefiting from the war. This war is not helping America, ladies and gentlemen. We're hated around the world now. We have no more soft power with any country. We're seen as evil, evil usurpers of peace and criminals around the world. I feel shame at the actions of my government. Terrible, terrible shame. We're committing genocide with illegal weapons. Uranium is an illegal weapon. There is in no place in the world that that weapon has the right to be used, nor does napalm. And that is also an illegal weapon. So is phosphorus. Torture is illegal. And so on, and so on, and so on. And who benefits? Well, in every instance, the same group does, and they're all Zionists. Don't get mired in all of the other nonsense that's going to get blown up your skirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's simply an easy story to follow. And I followed it back to that. I'm sure the people listening have as well. But they're going to try to throw all kinds of stuff at you. And they'll take some of this truth that I'm sharing here and they'll mix it with aliens. Or they'll mix it with alien trips to Mars and having a holiday on Venus or whatever. And how I got taken up in a spaceship and I was probed. One guy actually, this guy Sieber, actually says he was raped by aliens. And oh, boy. And but then you'll get other sites that that just give you about 70% of what's true. And then the rest of it is just hooey. And they carry some gravitas. They carry some listeners. I mean, I we've all been over this guy, Flacco. You know, Tom Flacco has been flambéed by the French Connection. And so many people have found out this guy's stuff is just so full of malarkey. Take a look at it over time now. Everything he said was a crock of manure. And so now that we know that this guy's a crock of manure, what explains him still getting thousands of visitors? What explains Rupert getting thousands of visitors? Is it that we're not doing a good enough job of letting the people know that are searching for the truth that these people are not telling the truth? Facts are that we're not winning this battle. We're reeling from these people because we're not cohesing. We're not coming under that banner of truth. And it's the simplistic truth that's going to win this war for us. And it's a war of attrition, a war of information, a war of credibility, a war of stick-to-itiveness or perseverance, and a war of morals, and a war of love of one's country. And I have to ask the question to the NSA people who are listening to this call right now and who monitor my phone all day and who mess up my emails. I can't send my webmaster emails anymore. They no longer arrive. I can't download my my own articles that I write onto my own site anymore. So when I come back, I'm going to appeal to these folks. But the phone lines are going to be open today. And I'm taking phone calls. I'm hoping Chris from Illinois is listening and he can give us a call and share some of his incredible knowledge with us. And Mike over there in Arizona, love to hear from you. And the rest of my listeners, Renee and the rest of you guys, love to hear from all of you this Friday. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more French Connection. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith. We're back. It's Friday, the 13th, and it is going to be a show for you today where so many issues have been brought up by the French Connection, and we really are the show that pushes the hardest in the whole country and probably the world right now. And I don't say that as a pride issue here. I'm saying it that where's everybody else? Where are the people I hoped had stand beside me and fight this with me? I mean, I mean, what the heck happened to the, you know, to all this heroism and the strength of the American character and all that stuff? I started to wonder about all that. And you know, when you see the state of affairs in America and the way people are heading down this path and not really wrapping their brains around just how terrible this place is. And, you know, here's the thing I got to say it. There's not a person, to a man or to a woman, that doesn't know that there was an inside job. It was an inside job. Even the people who support George Bush today, they know it inside themselves. That's a fact. When I had some French police here today speaking to them about these people that were around the home, there were four of them. They all knew that 9/11 was done by our government, and they didn't know the Israeli part of it, and they didn't know all the other details, but they knew that the American government was part of it, all of them. I'm assuming everybody in the whole world knows it, and we can't even get you know, people who are supposedly fighting for the truth to get this information out. We can't even get it out there. And of course they're still talking about wingtips on airplanes, and that's all disinformation. It's all malarkey. Stay away from those people. Stay away from all the people who are doing that. It's nonsense. Stick with the things that we've already proven and stay there, and then let the historians figure out the rest. Because right now, fighting the wingtip issue or the, you know, hologram-type plane issues, what this is doing is just not letting our truth, the real stuff that we can prove, get any traction. They're using that as a wedge against us. So the way we can combat it is to keep it simple. And a simplistic truth, a simple truth, things that are easily provable, and a rallying cry and a repeated pounding on those facts over and over and pushing them into the face of people to look at it, this will be ultimately what unseats the resistance to the truth. And it's pretty clear to me. It's been clear to me for a long time. I'm sure it's clear to anybody who looks at the issue even for a short period of time, that that's the only way forward. But, you know, there are people who are doing research, and I applaud their efforts. But I don't think we should be bringing that into the mainstream of this fight, because I think it clouds our efforts. I think part of that whole mess is done intentionally by the other side so that we don't get traction. That's what I think. You know, nobody gave birth to me and made me king of this movement. I'm only in charge of me, Darryl Bradford Smith. That's what I'm doing. But I try to keep my logic simple. I try to keep my fight simple. I try to keep my analysis simple, so that we don't have to get mired in explanation, because it just ends up all over the place. Makes sense to me. So many things. You know, I'm wondering, George Bush doesn't really care about anything the public's saying. Of course, this guy Alito is a criminal. He's a crook, too, just like the rest of them. And our crooked Congress is going to approve him, more than likely. So we've just taken another big... The hearing's not over yet, but we're on our way to taking another huge step into tyranny. Why? Because all the arbiters of American truth will now be in the hands of criminal Zionist murderers further down that path. And they're not, you know, to be a Zionist is not to be a Jew. I mean, there are non-Jewish Zionists. But you don't become a leader in Zionism unless you're Jewish. But there are many useful idiots, and there are many henchmen, and there are many people in their employ. Why? Well, because they've got trillions of dollars. And what they're afraid of more than anything else, and what they can't spend their way out of, is people becoming aware of who they are and what they're doing. Facts are, the only thing that's probably keeping me on this planet is the fact that to do something about me would make my message bigger. I've said this before. And by so doing, really injure them. And that's only logic, because I've got so many files out there. I have so much stuff out there. I mean, it is, there are piles of articles and facts that we've put together and research projects, and there are all kinds of audio files and interviews of people from soup to nuts. And it is a very large body of research work that they would be hard-pressed to suppress. Suppressing me would be almost impossible. So, I'm tired. Yep. I'm tired. And Eric and I have often talked about, where's our help? Where's the help for this fight? The websites out there, where are they? Who's placing our truth on their site? Who's helping us with posting things on message boards? I don't see much of it. I see a little. I don't see too much, though. I'm not blaming you guys. The fact is that I don't know what to blame it on. Maybe I'm just fighting a lost cause here. I sometimes wonder, because we're moving ahead with their agenda, but ours isn't putting any pressure on them in any real way. I mean, we're making an effect, but it's not changing much. And I think it's because Americans are by and large cowards. That's what I think. I think they're big, overweight, stupid cowards. That's what I think. And that's not putting them down. I think that's just an honest assessment. I think they've twinkied themselves and televisioned themselves into an abyss. And they don't have any courage anymore. They're not taught how to question authority. They're not taught how to ask the right questions about analyzing. They're not even taught to be competent anymore. And as a result, we are left with the refuse masses. What's on the Statue of Liberty? I'm yearning to be free. Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, so today's message is a little bit down, because it's just, I'm worn out. This is just one of those things that just wears the tar out of you, boy. Stressful problems, people are afraid and everything, and then they're backing off. They're cowardice. I can't do the same. I was supposed to have a guest today. Person couldn't do it. He got afraid. I'm afraid. I said, yeah, me too. I'm afraid too. I fight anyway. Let's get some courage together, guys, and fight the big fight here. Call me up. 1-800-259-5791. Playing that's great stuff. I love jazz. Jazz just is who I am these days. I just love the stuff. It just melts me away, and I just think it's great. Hey, Chris, are you a jazz lover?
Yes, I am.
I figured as much. I've been trying to get my hooks into you about some research you've been looking into and stuff. So much out there, so much information. But what I've been trying to do is keep my issues on a small number, and then build them into complete truths, so that they can hold their own. They can be packages. This started with that Benjamin Friedman thing, because that is so powerful, and then trying to build out from that to where people can't deny the facts that are surrounding that particular man's work, and letting people see how it comes into today's activities. And when you take a look at the whole body of that work, it would be too powerful for anybody to turn away from.
Absolutely. But I think one thing that concerns people is they think that Friedman's a hoax. They don't realize that this man really existed, and that what he was saying is true and can be proven to be true.
Yeah. Well, he was given these speeches in 61. He was, in fact, he was a wealthy soap manufacturing company owner, and he's in history books. The guy's there. I mean, you can look him up. His life and death are all on there, and the things he said. Yes, he's certainly not a hoax. No.
No, he owned the Woodbury Soap Company. I think he was worth something like $11 million, and he spent his fortune trying to inform people about the dangers of communism and Zionism.
But he was a communist Zionist in his early years.
I know he was involved with them. I don't.
Well, he may not have been, ideologically so, but he was certainly an accomplice to many of their acts during his early years.
Yes, he was in the inner circle.
Yeah.
And he knew what was going on.
He worked with Bernard Baruch. He worked with Morgenthau. And who's the other fellow? There was one other big muckety-muck that he was working with.
Louis Marshall was big. Samuel Untermeyer was big.
Untermeyer is the one I was thinking of, yeah. Samuel Untermeyer. Now, these folks are the American side of this design team. Is there a European side of the design team that came out of the research?
I think the head honcho was always the Rothschild family from the time that Anselm Meyer founded the Rothschilds. His goal was to make the Rothschilds the new messiah. And there were rumors throughout the 1800s that Rothschild was going to buy Palestine from the Sultan of Turkey and make himself king of the Jews to fulfill the messianic prophecies.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I have newspaper articles that discuss it. The problem.
And what year was that written?
From the 1840s, in that 1839, 1840, there was a lot of discussion in England about setting up a kingdom for the Jews in Palestine. And most of the people pushing it on the surface and in the press were Christians, who wanted to fulfill the messianic prophecy so that they could bring on the messianic era. And for hundreds of years, it was the British who were most strongly pushing for a return of the Jews to Palestine. And a lot of the British actually thought that the British themselves were one of the lost tribes of Israel. There was a movement called the British Israel Movement, and it had its roots even before Cromwell and the English Revolution, which came about at the instigation of Zionists. Manasseh ben Israel came to England and got Cromwell to set up the revolution against the Catholic king. And that also, it was so that they could establish trade with England, but it was also to fulfill biblical prophecies that the Jews would be spread out to the ends of the earth. And one way of fulfilling those prophecies was to make certain that the Jews could be readmitted to England.
Well, you know, here's what I've seen. I mean, I've been called wrong on this issue. I see these folks over time having used religion. I don't see these people as religious. I don't see them as righteous in any way. I see them as people who use religion or religions, plural, as a tool or means to an end. And they do suspend ethics, what theologians call a teleological suspension of ethical principles, meaning their ends have always justified their means, which in its definition is sacrilegious to most any monotheism. So when you look at the whole thing, Christopher, they don't seem to be doing this from any religious standpoint. They do it from, it seems like they're doing it from power and control.
You may well be right, but I think the way that they manifest their plans hints that the people at the very top are religious, and the Rothschilds were religious. And they said that they were doing what they were doing for the benefit of the Jews and for the benefit of Judaism. Whether that was authentic or not is hard to say. But the fact that they wanted to create and did create a world government and the state of Israel when it wasn't really necessary, when the Jews themselves didn't want it, leads one to believe that they were religious and they were trying to fulfill the religious strivings of their people.
Now, if that's the case, and they believe their own hype in some ways, then they are believers in the Old Testament or the doctrines and the and the what the scribes wrote in those documents, they must believe them.
Well, think of how wonderfully successful they've been by following them. Why wouldn't they want to believe them when it when everything that was prophesied they've been able to accomplish through wealth, through the wealth of the Rothschilds? And the way they accrue that wealth was through creating wars. And all this was anticipated in those prophecies. So it was a perfect plan for them. And Judaism itself is not as deeply religious as other many other belief systems. It's very materialistic and has to do with the material world. So it's not that big of a stretch. And there's been an undercurrent in Judaism since the time of Solomon. Solomon built the temple with the use of both angels and demons. And there's something called a dualistic principle in some sects, especially Kabbalist sects of Judaism, where they believe that they gain the most power by practicing both evil and good, and that they can bring on the messianic era by practicing evil. And that was most ardently advocated by Jacob Frank and the Frankists, who tried to destroy Catholicism in Poland by pretending to convert to Catholicism and by attacking the rabbis and the Talmud. And that was very similar to what happened in the Nazi era.
Well, they also pretended to be Christians in Spain.
Absolutely, and the Muranos.
That's right, and they infiltrated the Spanish hierarchy, and they were seen as usurpers at one point, and that's what caused the Inquisition, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, when we come back, Chris, don't go anywhere. You know, I've been hoping you were going to get in touch with me because you really are a wonderful historian and an interesting man to have on the radio, and I'm very grateful to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we've got more from Chris and Daryl Bradford Smith on The French Connection. Playing. We are rocking. Yes, we are. Daryl Bradford Smith, French Connection. IamTheWitness.com is the website. IamTheWitness@Hotmail.com is the email address. But by the way, if you don't get emails back from me very quick or at all, a lot of my stuff is being returned to my my email box. They're rejecting my emails now. And isn't that interesting, Chris? They won't let me send emails, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not allowing me to do any emailing anymore either.
Have you eliminated all possibilities that it's simply a technical issue?
Yep. Because it's only just four people I can't email. Everyone else is fine. And the other thing they've done is sent me a virus into my my audio files outside of the United States. Everybody who's outside the United States can't play them.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? If you're in Australia, you can't play. I'm getting emails from everybody. Australia, and I got them from Sweden. I got one from just everywhere. And I can't download any of the audio and nothing. But that's interesting stuff. We'll figure out whatever the problem is there. But and the other problem is we can't take calls while you're on the line with me because you're on one of the call lines that has to be given up. So we're going to let's go on with your story, and I'm going to ask the folks to maybe the people who are holding can call back in the second hour, and can I ask Tony, Paul, and Dave a big favor, and because the way this call is being done with my friend here Chris, he has to hang up for you to call, and so I wanted to do some questioning of Dave because he's such a resource. Could I get you guys to call back along with Renee? If you would do that, I would be super, super grateful. Anyway, let's go on, Chris. Here's the question I have. They leave this information out in plain sight, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And so are they not afraid that it will become mainstream knowledge and that it may displace them, or are they fearless, or are they got such hubris that they don't care? I mean, what kind of mentality have you been able to kind of glean from their activities?
I think that they have several issues that they work at once, and that they can flip-flop things to their advantage as need be. As you've mentioned, for example, in France, they may be trying to instigate incidents or fake incidents of anti-Semitism in order to force Jews to flee from Europe to Israel because they have demographic issues which could destroy their enterprise there.
Yep.
So,
There were actually some Jewish youth that got caught desecrating a Jewish cemetery here. That's not a new tactic either, is it?
No, it's not. And since the time of Spinoza, leading Jews have advocated the idea that anti-Semitism is a good thing because it keeps Jews segregated. And it's been terrible for Jewish people throughout history. And much of the persecution that has gone on has been at the instigation of Jewish leaders who wanted to prevent Jews from rising in society and integrating into society.
Well, here's one of the interesting things about the French Connection and me personally. I grew up in a community, and one of the callers is from my hometown. He'll be calling back later, I hope. He knows there's plenty of, I sat next to people that were Jewish, and geez, in my mind, there's absolutely no difference from me to them, and except that they, when I was in grade school, grammar school, they went to Hebrew school, and they would leave early twice a week to go to this Hebrew school they went to. But, I mean, I never saw them as anything different than me, and, interesting, they don't see themselves, these folks don't see themselves differently, I don't believe, because I've seen them since, and I've got lots of New York friends that they don't go there. I'm wondering how much support they really have in the rank and file.
I think very little and dwindling. I think the state of Israel is facing a demographic crisis, which is why they won't allow Palestinians the right of return, even though there are many good-natured Israelis who recognize the injustice of everything that's happened.
Well,
I don't think you may not appreciate the significance of Israel to Zionists. It's their, as you say, raison d'être. There's nothing else for them. If the Jews were to assimilate, they would consider it the death of the people. And in the Jewish religion, it's not the individual who's immortal, it's the Jewish people that's immortal. And that is why they so seriously conceive of assimilation and integration as a life and death issue. And that's why they're willing to sacrifice millions of Jews in order to establish a Jewish nation where they can create a world ghetto and keep Jews segregated. And that's why they're willing to foment hatred against Jews to keep Jews segregated. It's a deeply, deeply important thing to some people. And these people are terrible tyrants. They never ask Jews themselves, hey, do you want to be a part of this? They simply tell them they have to be a part of this or face death.
Well, they're saying the same to us. Either we go along or we are going to be eliminated. We're useful idiots to these folks. And I want to talk when we come back about the people who work with them and what their motivation is and why this New World Order malarkey gets so much traction. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, more from Chris and Daryl Bradford Smith on The French Connection. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We've got a short segment coming up here, and I've got my guest Chris talking historic issues before we go on. I want to let everybody know that and the reason I seem down is this is a wearing fight, but you know what, I won't give up, and I want everyone to know that just you get tired by sometimes. Christopher, this is a hard fight here.
It's a hard fight, but if you bloody their nose, that's the end of it for them, because they're a small minority, and what they're doing is immoral. So they, that's another historical thing with the Jewish people, is they're foremost enemy is called Amalek, and they hate him and say that they have to utterly exterminate the seed of Amalek because Amalek was the first one to challenge the Jews. And they feel that any challenge which shows that Israel is accessible to a fight has to be utterly put down and eradicated because they are in such a vulnerable position. That's why they fight
the attack on me right now.
Absolutely. And they're vulnerable. And don't give up fighting. If they attack you, you know you're touching a nerve. You're getting somewhere.
Yeah. My wife and I are, you know, I'm just some guy, man.
And but that's what everybody is.
Yeah, because but, you know, why am I so crazy, Chris?
I don't think you are crazy. I think you're aware. And I think other people, the education system has so effectively deflected people from recognizing the truth that they're blinded to it. And once you see it, it's very clear. And it's clear in the historical record. But another thing they want you to do is to be ashamed if you tell the truth. And that's a terrible weapon that they utilize, which is very destructive. But if enough people start telling the truth, they can't hide from it because it can be proven.
That's right. You're right. And here's the biggest thing, okay? I'm fortunate in that I was under their radar long enough to build a very solid base of work that's in the public record. And there is an awareness building. And if the fact is that now I'm in a position where to do anything or eliminate me is a very dangerous thing for them. In fact, I think it would be suicidal. Because everyone who's listened to my show knows that I'm working very hard, I'm sincere about this effort, and I bring the facts to the table, and that this thing would end up biting them in the rear end terrible if something were to happen to me. So what they're going to do is try every other way of just getting rid of me short of that.
I think they'd try intimidation. They would warn you before they did anything. I think they would confront you and warn you before they did anything. And I think their best weapon against you would be to try to discredit you. So please continue giving out the facts, and they can't discredit you because what you say can be proven.
Well, how come nobody else is doing this on the radio? It's very limited. I mean, four months ago when I started this with Eric Huffschmidt, we were out there alone, man. I mean, I got to be honest with you. There was only a smattering of people, and they weren't getting any traction. It was just pretty much nothing. And I got to tell you, it's a lonely place to be out there in front of a spearhead.
Well, it's been that way for quite a while, and the reason it's that way is because they have control of the media and can smear anyone who comes forward with the truth. So you've got to have a lot of guts. You're a rare individual is the answer. You're a very rare and courageous individual.
My wife thinks I'm a little bit tappy in the head, but listen, I want you to stick around. You got time for me?
Sure.
We got a big break coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have more with Chris because I just adore this guy's efforts. When we return, we got a break coming up.